This is Radio Boston. I'm Asma Khalid. A new version of the Senate health care plan is out today. It's the latest effort by Republicans to deliver on their promise to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. This new version of the Senate bill is aimed at winning the votes of both the most moderate and the most conservative members of the Republican Party. It's a bit of a tough sell. This morning, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas talked about the plan on radio station KFYI.
I think we're making serious progress towards coming together and unifying our conference and getting a bill that can command the support of at least 50 senators and pass into law.
But there is still skepticism among some Republicans. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky spoke at a press conference yesterday and said that the bill does not go far enough in repealing Obamacare.
So when we looked at the bill a week ago and I said, or 2 weeks ago, and I said I couldn't support the bill as it was, they've now taken the bill and made it worse. They've taken any pretense that this is a repeal bill, and they've made it a bill that basically is a spending bill.
And on the more moderate GOP side, Republican Senator Susan Collins from Maine tweeted out today, still deep cuts to Medicaid and Senate bill, will vote no on motion to proceed, ready to work with GOP and Dem colleagues to fix flaws in ACA. On the other side of the aisle, Democrats are also still voicing strong opposition to this bill. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer at a press conference today.
This bill, like the old one, means millions of Americans will lose coverage. The bill was mean when it passed the House. It's mean when it was introduced in the Senate, and it's still mean today.
With so much opposition from both Democrats and even some Republicans, it is unclear if this bill will pass the Senate. In an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network yesterday, President Trump was asked what would happen if the Senate does not succeed at passing this health care plan. Here's Trump's response.
Well, I don't even want to talk about it because I think it would be very bad. I will be very angry about it, and a lot of people will be very upset. But I'm sitting waiting for that bill to come to my desk. I hope that they do it. They've been promising it for years.
Joining me now is Don Berwick. He's the former administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services under President Obama. He's also a pediatrician and now currently a senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement in Cambridge. Don Berwick, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much, Asma. It's nice to be with you.
So, Don, let me begin by getting your reaction to this new health care plan. What stands out to you?
Well, we've only just seen it, but it's old wine in new bottles. That's an insult to wine, I guess. I mean, This is essentially the Senate bill we've seen before with a few tweaks in it. It still has major cuts in Medicaid. I think when it's scored, we'll still see 15 million or more people lose Medicaid coverage over time with this bill. It is still a transfer of wealth to wealthier people. It leans a little heavier on the health savings accounts, savings accounts are tax advantaged, and they only help people who really are paying at the higher rates of taxes. It won't help middle class and lower income people much at all. It really gives states a lot of latitude to dumb down health coverage. That removes the requirement for essential health benefits. So, yes, states may seek to have lower premiums, but they'll do that by allowing plans to be offered that are illegal under the Affordable Care Act, plans that don't cover essential services like maternity care or substance abuse care or mental health care. It offers some support for the opioid epidemic, but nowhere near what's needed. It's way short of the amount that needs to go to the opioid epidemic. And a lot of that is happening through Medicaid, which they're going to cut back.
I see.
They lean more heavily on free care pools, but we know, I mean, we've been there, done that. We know free care pools don't get used the way they're intended, and it's inadequate. So this is This is a disastrous bill for Medicaid populations, for middle-class people who are going to see premiums rise and the benefits fall. So it's not much change from what we saw before.
So that's what I actually wanted to ask you, Dr. Berwick, that this, you know, a bill was introduced with the goal of essentially improving upon that earlier version, hitting at some of the concerns that both the moderate and the conservative wings of the party had. In your mind, does it improve in any way on that earlier version?
I've tried to read the bill. I didn't have time to read it all. I don't see much change. They're keeping the taxes on wealthier people that are used to support the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, and that is something some Republicans wanted out. So that, in some ways, you could say was maybe a bit of a compromise.
Yeah, although I think it may be a bait and switch. The reason they're doing that on almost certainly is because they're later going to show up with a tax bill that's going to offer tax cuts to the wealthy that need to be funded. So instead of having that those tax cuts for the wealthy appear in this bill, they've taken that away, but I think you're going to see it reemerge in the subsequent budget bill. That's my tax bills. That's my prediction.
So I would love to talk about some of the specifics within this new bill. It does include a version of a controversial proposal from Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, which would allow insurers to sell these bare-bone policies. These are policies that don't really meet the standards mandated by the Affordable Care Act. And insurers can do this, essentially, as long as they'll agree to offer at least one more comprehensive plan. Can you give us a sense of what kinds of things insurers would be eliminating from plans if they are offering these bare-bone policies?
Sure. Well, first, let's note in Massachusetts, we have some protection here. Chapter 58, the 2006 reform law, would still apply in the Massachusetts, at least as things stand now, if the Senate bill passed. And we have protections in this state that don't allow this to happen. But this change in the bill, it increases the latitude that states have to allow plans to be offered that don't cover essential services. The Affordable Care Act had 10 categories of essential health benefits. You could not have a plan that doesn't cover maternity services or that doesn't cover mental health care. It's not allowed. Now, a state could do that. So under this bill, there will be states in an attempt to control their costs that would allow plans to show up with much worse coverage. That does two bad things. The first is that these are plans worth a lot less than they look. They're cheaper premiums, but you're going to find you're paying much more out of pocket. And if, unfortunately, something happens that is unanticipated, such as a mental illness, you're going to find yourself not covered. So it's really a bad idea. The second thing it does is a little more complicated, which is a low benefit plan attracts people who are very well. They don't expect to be sick. And they'll take their money now. They'll take the lower premium because they don't expect to be sick. They might be wrong, and that's a problem. But the people that stay in are the people who have needs, people who have chronic illnesses or are older. And what happens is you kind of unwind the very basis of insurance itself, and this is the death spiral people talk about. As the premiums go up, well people stay out, or they buy the cheaper policies. Sick people stay in and those policies go up. So it highly destabilizes insurance. And this especially affects, people, middle-class people who don't happen to have, say, employer coverage. They have their in the individual and small group market. So it's a destabilizing aspect as well as being bad for one's health.
Okay. So one of the points of sort of logic that I've heard is that by allowing these bare-bone policy plans, it would essentially encourage more young, healthy people to enroll in insurance plans, and then that would then therefore sort of diversify the pool of people. What's your take on that?
To some extent, that may be true, but what the young, healthy people do are going to leave the plans that offer comprehensive coverage and go to the ones that don't. And so the plans with comprehensive coverage unwind to become more, the premiums will go up. Some of the predictions we see for, say, older people, this proposal really hurts people in their late 50s and early 60s before they're on Medicaid. We've seen predicted increases in annual premiums of $12,000, $14,000 for people who are making $50,000 a year and happen to be 61 years of age. So it's essentially destabilizing. The Affordable Care Act has other ways to encourage young, healthy people to stay in. One is, of course, the individual mandate, which is it says you got to be part of the game. But some states like California, for example, have found ways to attract young and healthy people into their plans through marketing and through outreach and through the way they craft their insurance policies. And we could do that. That's fixing the Affordable Care Act in a very constructive way. This isn't.
Okay. I'd love to hear your take on the Medicaid or I guess lack of a change in the Medicaid plans, it looks like, from the earlier version, because you have some experience in that realm. Could you give us a sense of what is happening in terms of changing Medicaid from this open-ended entitlement system? It's going to be now just a system of fixed payments to states. And specifically, would that have an impact here in Massachusetts?
Definitely. Well, Medicaid covers about 70 million people a year, not the same people all through the year. People come in and out of Medicaid as they lose their job and they get back on their job. That's true in Massachusetts as well. But it's a very big part of our safety net for people who are poor or near poor. About 40% of Medicaid, by the way, goes for nursing home care. It's for people who, it really is a mainstay support for nursing homes for people, which are extremely expensive and unaffordable for a lot of people. There are 1.9 million people in Massachusetts on Medicaid. Half of those are people with half of all people with disabilities are on it. 40% of all kids. It's a very, very important part of the structure. In this bill, it would switch Medicaid funding to a per capita cap. What that basically means is right now, every new person that enrolls, you know, it has a benefit structure. And if it's necessary that more people enroll because there's a recession or more people need it, they can come in. Mm-hmm. And the benefits are guaranteed. Under a per capita cap, that's not true. The amount of money that can be spent on a person is capped. And the way the Senate bill goes, the rate of increase of that cap nowhere near matches the rate of increase of needed health care services. So more and more people will drop out. They won't be covered. States can't print money, so they'll have to either decrease eligibility for Medicaid or decrease Medicaid benefits or pay doctors and hospitals less, which will hurt rural mm-hmm. hospitals and safety net hospitals more. Governor Baker estimated that the original Senate bill, which is essentially the same as this, would cost Massachusetts over $8.2 billion over 10 years.
Oh, wow, that's here in Massachusetts.
And leave
yep.
264,000 residents without coverage by 2025. It would hurt us a lot. And we are not immune to the effect of this bill on people that really need help. And that affects a lot of families, because remember that nursing home coverage. There are middle-class families who know that their elders now depend on nursing homes and that Medicaid's providing the support for that care.
Yeah. All right, that's all the time we've got, Don. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Asma. Thank you.
That's Don Berwick. He's the former administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services under President Obama. These days, he's a senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. And folks, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Asma Khalid. This is Radio Boston.